First Peter chapter 4. Well, we had a good time last night, I know that, with the scavenger hunt or the Mission Impossible, whatever we called it. And we started off here and we'd get a clue and then you have to go find out where the next place was at. And there they had papers and clues. And from there you had to go find the next place. We was all over the county last night. And it was fun. Had a good time. It was enjoyable. Every time you'd stop at a place and everybody was pretty close together. If you couldn't figure out your clue, you just follow the guy in front of you and hope he figured his out. And we'd all end up at the same place. And then you'd open the doors and it was, man, people, kids running everywhere. I mean, they stopped at Crystal and there were kids running through the drive-thru, running around looking for clues. And it was hilarious. Those kids, man, they had a great time. The adults had a good time. It was fun and stuff like that. To just see some good, clean fun like that and see them teenagers, it's not something that's just that you make them go to, that you're trying to give to them. They enjoyed going. And they had a good time, and they look forward to the next time that they do it. And that's the things that you look for when you're trying to find things for young kids these days, is to see if they're going because they're made to go or going because they're having a good time. And they were having a good time last night, and that was a blessing to watch. This morning, 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, we're down to verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, down to verse 11. And the Bible says here in verse 11, he says, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." And he says this right here in verse 11, and he tells you two things. He tells you if you speak, you need to speak as the oracles of God. If you're going to minister, you need to minister as of the ability which God giveth. And in both instances right there, what you do is you do it by the ability of God. If you're going to speak, you need to speak as the oracles of God. If you're going to minister, you need to minister by the ability that God's given you. And there's a reason why you do that. And it's just right here, verse 11. "That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." That way God gets the glory. If you minister by the ability that God gives you to minister by, and you're just in your lane, you're doing what God wants you to do, and you realize it's a rough thing to try to get done, or whatever it is you're trying to get done, and it's something that God wants you to do, you feel like God's giving you ability to do it. When you do it, you can give God the glory, because you realize that it all comes from God anyway. And when you speak, if you speak as the oracles of God, when you're giving advice, if you're whatever it is you're doing as you're speaking, if you speak as the oracles of God, God will get the glory. And that's what God's looking for. Now, there's some things that can mess you up there when you speak as preachers or even teachers or counselors or anything like that. Some problems that you get into is the way we are today in America, what we've done as Christians is we've gotten God out of the whole process. And when it comes to say counseling, what we do, I've seen preachers with notebooks, and they've got that notebook, and that notebook is their Holy Spirit. And if they're dealing with somebody about marriage counseling, they flip that open, that notebook, and they say, "Here's what you're going to go through, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da." And there's no dependence upon God. I'm not saying that notebook and having notes and kind of having some experience and some things you've jotted down, something that you've learned through experience dealing with people, that you don't need those notes. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is there's a dependency upon those things. Somebody comes into a pastor's house these days and say, "Hey, you know what? I'm having a problem with this right here." Well, they get their little notebook out. They give them, you know, everything they've learned in college, all the things that they've been told. This is what you tell them if they got this problem. This is what you tell them if they got this problem. And there's no dependency upon God. There's no looking to God to find out what to tell somebody. And it's good to have notes. It's good to have those things. But if the dependency is upon those things, what happens is then it's all secular counseling. And the Bible says in verse 11, it says, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God." And I think that comes down to, deals with counseling. And when you begin to counsel, when you begin to speak, you need to speak from God. Now, when it comes to counseling, there's some problems that you're going to face. And when it comes to counseling, you need to realize when you're counseling that there's some problems that you may have that's going to keep you from counseling. And one is the first thing, and I think is the most important thing, is you don't realize the responsibility in giving advice. And that's people today. People give their advice like this right here, and they don't realize the responsibility that comes in giving advice. You have people today that they're constantly trying to get people fixed up, boyfriend, girlfriend, or if they know this man and ain't got a wife, they know this woman ain't got a husband, they spend their life trying to fix people up. And they don't realize the implications and the responsibility it comes when they're trying to give that advice. And it's nothing to people these days to try to get people fixed up. Well, I know this little boy, I know this little girl, and da-da-da-da. They don't talk to that little girl's family. They don't ask the little girl's mom and dad if they're interested in this little boy. It's constantly this, oh, I'd like to see so-and-so get fixed up. Well, I'd like to see so-and-so. And it's just that stuff right there. And the Bible says if you're going to speak, you need to speak as oracles of God. People don't pray and say, God, you know, I'd like to, you know, maybe get this guy and this girl fixed up, God. What do you think about that? You know what they do? They just, it would just be great. It would just be a nice thing. I could just see them together and they can do. And people don't speak and they don't talk to God about the advice that they give. And when you get into things like that right there, when it comes to getting a man and a wife and putting them together, you don't realize people don't even think about what they're doing. They're not just putting a guy and a girl together. They're putting two families together. I mean, you've got in-laws. And those in-laws, they may be good people, and they may be good people. But together, they're not going to get along with each other. And the worst thing that those two families need is to have a connection by marriage. And people get in the middle of that thing, and they mess families up. They can mess up a whole generation of families because they just think it would be cute if this girl and this boy, because they just think that they're in the matchmaking deal. And when you realize the responsibility, I've heard people talk about giving advice to people about getting divorces. So what you need to do, you need to leave that guy right there. Or you need to leave that girl right there. She's just doing you just like that. And there's kids involved. There's father-in-laws. There's mother-in-laws that's involved in situations like that. There's people that have jobs that's in the middle of those situations. And they give advice like it's nothing. You know, I'm not telling you whether divorce is right or not. That ain't what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is this right here. When we give advice, the Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And when we get into these things about giving advice, there's problems we have. There's special situations. We may give somebody some advice about a job. And what we don't realize is that maybe that person, you know, you're sitting there and you look at that thing, hey, that job's $17 an hour. That guy ought to take that job right there. But, you know, maybe this is going to involve, getting up in heights or something like that, or going into the coal mines or something like that, and this guy's a claustrophobic, and you're sitting here saying, man, you don't need to worry about that. You just need to go ahead. That's $17 an hour, man. And what we do is we give advice. We give things out. They quit a pretty decent job to go take a job. We've given them some advice to take. They can't handle the job. They lose that job, and they lose the job that they had that God had given them to provide for their family. Why? Because somebody else is going to give them some advice, and they don't pray about it. And we need to realize, as Christians, all of us, we need to realize that when we speak and give advice, we're supposed to give advice as the oracles of God. When you look at college and you start trying to give some kids some insight on college, and you say, look, you know, here's the college you need to go to. I've studied out. This is the best college. Well, there may be some special situations why this kid needs to stay closer to home, because maybe God knows, you know, 2 years from now, his dad's going to die and he needs to be close to his mother. And you just never know what's in the middle of what God's doing. And all we look at is we look at, you know, the rat race and what's going to be better for us and what would be the best way to do something. And I'm not telling you not to give advice. And there's some of you in here that could give some good advice. You probably know about college. You've probably seen some things about marriages and some things that's going to help some people. But when we get away from speaking as the oracles of God, then what we're doing is we're pretending like we're who? Like we're God. And we do that. And in America, you know what we are? We're our own God. That's what we are in America. And we give this advice. We get out there and we just throw advice out there. And that's one of the problems we get into when we begin to speak. You may be telling people they need to get into some investing. And you need to say, listen, you know what you need? You need to get in some investing. And this guy did this, and I know this guy, and I've made this much money investing and doing this and doing that. And it's worked out, and I've done it. And you look at it and you think, man, this is simple. This is easy money right here. I've invested this much money here. I've invested this money here. I've got this portfolio here, and I've got my everything's diverse and all these things. And you're trying to get this other person to get in the middle of it. Well, they decide, okay, I'm going to get in the middle of it. But they don't get on the internet and check all the different investments they're making and realize, hey, this one's losing money. I need to switch it from here to here. All they know to do is to put it where you tell them to put it. They don't have a mind to be able to do all that stuff. And you've got them already, you've got them in the middle of investing a bunch of money, and they don't even know what they're doing, and they lose their shirt because it's easy to you. And what you got to realize is think, you know what? I might ought to pray about before I start giving this advice to people and tell them you need to do this or you need to get a divorce or you don't need to get a divorce or you need to get married or no, you don't need to marry that guy or you don't need to marry that girl or I'm trying to match make and do this stuff right here. The problem is we don't realize the responsibility in giving advice. We flippantly throw something out for somebody and we never have to talk to them. We never have to deal with their problems that comes from the advice we give them or anything. It's done. We're finished. And we give it to them and there they go. There they are. They're with it. And there's a responsibility. There's a certain amount of gravity in every decision that somebody makes that they need to adhere to. Now, another problem that when it comes to giving advice, you need to speak from God. You need to speak as oracles of God. Another problem you're going to have is you don't listen. We don't listen to people. And that's a big problem, giving advice. You ever start trying to confide into somebody and get about six words out? And after your sixth word, they cut you off. Tell you what your problem is. Tell you how to fix it. And then they're sitting there grinning and walk off thinking they've done something. And you're sitting here thinking, that ain't even what I was talking about. They're sitting here telling you, well, I'll tell you what your problem is. Your problem is you got a job right over here, and you ain't making enough money to be able to pay your bills right here, and that right there is causing this, and that's causing this. And you're thinking, paying my bills ain't even the problem. I'm not even talking about paying my bills. They just, for some reason, they got something in their head. You say a key word, and before they can sit there and listen, we don't listen. We don't listen to problems. When you're wanting to know to be able to help somebody out, you better be able to listen. And not just listen. Ask questions. Because a lot of times people can't even convey a problem. You ever tried to deal with somebody and they say, well, I've got a problem and I just can't get it. And they give you a little bit of it and you say, well, what about this right here? Well, no, that's not really what I'm saying. And they try to sit here and they can't even get their problem out sometimes. And we're trying to give them advice and they don't even know what's wrong with themselves, let alone us knowing. And a lot of times it's good to sit down and ask some questions. You say, what kind of questions? Ask God. Say, God, I got somebody here. They're asking me these questions. I don't understand what they're saying. They don't understand what they're saying. I want to be a blessing to them, God. Give me some insight here. You know what God will do? He'll give you some questions you can ask somebody. And that's what we're doing. We're getting God out of the equation about everything. And in this verse right here, God's trying to put himself back in. He's saying, look, if you're going to talk, you'll speak as me. If you're going to minister, minister to the, by the ability that I've given you. You know, I tell people, talk about practicing and practicing this. You know, there's not a lot of tricks to being good at things. And you got people today that it's about motivational speaking. And you can get up and motivationally move somebody, and you can talk them, you can give them a good story, you can get them fired up, you can get them ready to charge a mountain, you know, and all that stuff. And I'll give them an example. I say, it don't matter, you know, it don't matter who talks to me. They can get me excited. They can come up and say, Brother Jack, listen, you got a person sitting in the congregation today, you know, and they've been wanting to hear from a good piano player. And Brother Jack, I tell you, boy, I think this guy's going to get saved. And I know one other time when we came in, this guy didn't know how to play a piano, and they got him up there and he just played the piano because this guy out there in the audience, they needed something. And they might get me excited and get me fired up, and I might go up to that piano. But nothing's going to happen. You say, why? Because that's not my ability. You know what God's saying? Minister by the ability that God's given you. And that's what he's saying in this verse right here. He's saying, put me back into this. He says, you know, I've got a little bit to do with Christianity. It is named after me, you know. That's what he's saying. And he's saying, we've got down to, we've got everything, all the I's dotted, all the T's crossed, we can give all the counsel. We've got books on how to counsel about this, how you counsel about this. We've got all the books that's written, and yet people still got problems all over America and they ain't getting no help. We've got books on how to minister to youth. We've got books on how to minister to this and minister to that. How to build a big church. How to do all these things. But yet they ain't getting done. You say, why? You know, everybody that I talk to, what are we going to do about the youth? I bet you there's a million books written on how to minister to youth. Get on the internet and Google how to minister to youth and look at all the hits you got. And yet that's one of the biggest problems we've got in America. Why is that? A lot of it is you got people trying to minister to youth that ain't their job. This right here, it says, if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. You got people that maybe have the ability to be able to be a Sunday school teacher and say maybe a 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds, but yet they can't minister to teenagers. But yet there's nobody else stepping up and they're thrown right there in the middle of this thing and they've got stuff out there and you may have 14, 15, 16-year-old kids sitting here listening to a teacher whose mindset is trying to teach like she does 4, 5, and 6-year-olds. And these kids are sitting here thinking, what are they talking about? You know, and talking to them like they're little kids and, okay, class, and what was Daniel doing? Where was Daniel at? And these teenagers looking and thinking, who is this? You know, and you say, what's the problem? You need to minister as the ability which God giveth you. And a lot of that is people trying to minister, and because they want to be a youth minister, or they want to be a teenage minister, or they want to do that stuff, and they're out of their element. And that's a lot of the problems. And sometimes the problem is the people that do have that ability won't do it. And somebody needs to do it, and they step in there, and they're saying the whole time, I'd rather not do this. I don't even want to be. I don't know how to do this. But nobody else will do it, so I'll step in there and I'll do it. And the best thing we can do is we can put ourselves in the spot where God's called us and God given us some abilities, and then put God back in it. Give God the abilities to give you your ability. Another problem you have is we read into what we think or we observe. A lot of times we see people and we're around them and we think, they got a problem with this. Or, I know that person, this is what they're thinking. Or, I know that person, this is what they need. They're having a problem here and they really need to do this right here. And we read into things. A lot of times we look at some situation, we see somebody, and you think, man, that person right there, they're a people person. And the more you get to know them, you realize they're not a people person. And you may be thinking, boy, you've got this person read perfectly. And there are people that you would think you talk to and you'd think, man, they get along with people. They're always laughing. They're always joking. They're always having a good time. Man, they're a people person. And you get talking to them, you find out they hate talking to people. They just hate it. They hate it. And they don't even want to be around people. Not because that they don't like people or they don't like that certain person. They would just soon not talk. They'd just soon sit down and read a book, or they'd just sit down and be by themselves and watch a TV show by themselves as they would have 20 people over watching the same show with them. And they're different, and you realize, you know what? You don't know people like you think you know them. And why is that? Because we all put on. We all put on. We all act like we're something that we're not. And you say, brother, I don't do that. I'm the same where I'm at, and I'm the same. And that ain't true. We're a lot nicer to folks here at church than we are at home. You know what we do? We get comfortable at home. And you get frustrated. You may say things at home that you don't say right here when you walk in. Everybody got up this morning. You know what you did? I say everybody. Most of us. You got up this morning. Your kids walked through the house and looked at you. And they're getting their breakfast or they're doing this. You're talking to them, do this, do this, do this. Get ready, do this. You're out talking to your wife. Hey, where's this at? Where's this at? She's saying, hey, I put this here. I put that there. And then nobody got up this morning and said good morning. But you get over here at church and everybody that walks in that door out there, you know what you're doing? Good morning. How you doing? How you doing? How you doing? Hey, you say, why? Because you're putting on. Why? Because that's what's expected of us here at church. We're supposed to greet each other. We're supposed to say, hi, how you doing? How you feeling? Glad to see you, whether you're glad to see them or whether you ain't. And when you start trying to counsel somebody, what you got to do is you got to get past that facade. You know, it'll take you 2 or 3 counseling sessions before you start even getting down to the nitty-gritty, before they feel like they can even actually open up and give you all those problems that they got. A lot of times they're trying to feel through there and gain some trust and just see. So when you're trying to counsel people, make sure you listen and make sure you're not reading into what you think or you've observed. Another thing is people, when they give counsel, another problem they do is they give counsel based on what they like or what they don't like. And you can't do that. I mean, people are different. People like different types of land. Somebody may be getting ready to buy some piece of property, and you say, hey, I know where a piece of property is at. It's got a little bit of a hill to it. It's got a nice field in the back of it. It's got a nice big fish pond behind it. There's about 100 acres back there where you could have a bunch of hunting. You could have you a barn put back there, and you may be looking at some woman sitting here going, well, do they have a Walmart close? How close is Walmart? Is it a paved road? You're thinking, paved road? No, it's gravel. It's gravel. She's thinking, you know, you say, why? Because people's different. And when you begin to give counsel based on what you like and what you don't like, it ain't going to help you. People all the time, they'll say, hey, I got some pizza here. You want some pizza? And I'll say, what kind is it? They'll say, it's Supreme. No, I don't care for it. I really don't like Supreme pizza. Oh, come on, you'll like it. No, I won't. I really won't. I'm going to barf right on everywhere in your living room. Do you really want me to eat this pizza? You know, I'm not going, oh, come on, it's really good. No, I really don't like it. And we do. When we begin to give people counsel, we give people counsel based on what we like. So you got to watch what you're doing on that. Don't give advice based on your experience. In other words, when it gives to... Say if you're going to give some advice and you got somebody that's just been in church, say for 6 months, and you've been in church for 20 years, don't give advice to somebody that's been in church for 6 months like somebody that's been in church for 20 years. They can't handle it. There's some things they can't do. You know, it's like giving somebody some advice in running. It's funny. You sit there and you watch these... I go out here and watch this middle school cross country. And I sat there and I watched these parents yelling at these kids. I'm thinking, it's hilarious. Come on! Come on! Run hard! And that kid is sucking wind and can't breathe. And they can't run. They've ran as far as they can run and they can't run no more. And his parent that's sitting here, you know, they're about 75 pounds overweight. Ain't ran a day in their life, and they're sitting here, you can do it! And they're having to stop and take breaths because they can't draw enough breath to talk. And you're sitting here, I'm thinking, now, the only reason that's funny to me is because I started running. And I got to where I started running. I used to look at these people in these marathons, man, and they're sitting there, they're running, and they're getting done in 4 hours. And you got somebody, man, setting records, getting done in 2 hours and 10 minutes. And I'm sitting here, and I'm looking at those guys, I'm thinking, why don't they run that fast? Good night. How much faster can it be? How hard is it to do something like that? And I'm sitting there looking at that thing right there, and I'm thinking, come on. Well, then I start running. And when I start running, I'm thinking, and I say I started running. I started running in Florida. And I thought, I'm gonna start running, try to lose some weight. And I remember in the Army, I could run 2 miles. I thought, well, you know, I'll start out running 2 miles. And I got out, started running from the house there and got down the road, and I got so tired I had to stop. And I walked back home, and I got my vehicle, and I thought, man, I wonder how far that was. That's probably a mile, probably 3/4 of a mile at least. And it's about 1/4 of a mile. I ran about 1/4 of a mile, and I was toast. And I remember thinking, Lord, have mercy. Now, if there would have been somebody out there that could run a marathon and started trying to give me some advice saying, well, here's how you're going to run your marathon. What you need to do is you need to run 22 miles on Mondays. Then on Tuesdays, you need to be a light day, about 7 miles, 6 or 7 miles at a slow pace. Then on Wednesdays, you need to run you a 10K, and you need to run it as fast. And I'm sitting here thinking, I can't run 7 miles. I can't run a 10. I don't even know what a 10K is. At that point, wouldn't even know what a 10K was. And I'm sitting here, and if this guy's trying to give me advice based on his experience, ain't gonna help. You know what we do with kids? We try to give advice based on our experiences in life. You know, a kid that's 15 years old is not gonna act like a 35-year-old. And you know, when you sit here and you look at these kids and they've just broke up with their boyfriend or their girlfriend, and to them it's the biggest thing in the world. And to you, you're looking at it like it's puppy love, and you're thinking, oh, good night, son. Get over it. You know, and when we act like it's no big deal, you know what we're telling them? We're telling them we don't care. And we start trying to give advice based on 35 years experience saying, you know what? here's what's going to happen to you, son. Here's what's going to happen, and this and this and this and this. And we act like we don't care. You know what they do? They go get advice somewhere else that somebody's going to listen to them. Somebody's going to understand what they're going through. And if they're 15 years old and that's the first boyfriend or girlfriend they ever had, and they break up and it's a big deal, that's probably the biggest thing ever happened to them. And emotionally, man, they're probably distraught. They're probably sitting there worried over this thing right here as much as you are worried about whether or not you're going to get laid off at work. You say, well, that's real problems. Well, to them, that's real problems. And you take a guy running a marathon and him trying to go from 2 hours and a half down to 2 hours and 15 minutes. That's a big deal. That seems like a big thing right there, and it is. But you take a guy who just started running and trying to get up to where he can run a mile, and he's excited about running a mile without stopping, that's a big deal to him. And when it becomes time to give some counsel, you got to make sure you give advice based on their experience and not your experience. And that's why it's so hard in giving counsel. And I give you all these problems for this right here. Because God said this, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And I just wanted you to realize there's a whole lot more to giving counsel and giving advice to people than what we realize. Because when you get on the radio, all these people call in with advice. Da, 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 da. It's like this right here. Like these people hadn't ever thought about something. They just think their advice, world revolves around them. They know all the answers. They give this advice, this call-in show. And we get caught up in that and we think, well, we got the answers. We'll do this, we'll do that. I remember last year coaching basketball. People come up to me and say, I tell you what y'all do, y'all get that big girl start rebounding. Well, I never thought about that. Well, let me think about that. She's tall. She'd probably get in there. Rebounding's a good thing. Thank you. I appreciate that, you know. And that's the way some people don't appreciate your counsel. Some people don't appreciate your advice. And that's why you need to ask questions. And there's a lot to giving advice and speaking to people and give them counsel than people realize. And God says this, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. You can destroy some marriages. You can destroy families. You can get in situations where you mess some things up. And then there's also some snares when it gets into counseling. You can get emotionally involved. You can get emotionally involved. There's been many a man and many a woman in getting a situation where they're trying to give counsel to the opposite sex. And emotionally they get involved and they don't see soberly anymore. And they mess up because they don't see soberly. Now, I'm not telling you if you're a man that you can't never give advice to a woman. I'm not even telling you that. I'm not telling you if you're a woman you can't give advice to a man. But I'm telling you this, there's some snares out there and the devil is there and he's ready to get it. And if you get too involved in it, too emotionally involved and attached, you can begin to think something that's not real. You can begin to think that you love this person when you really don't. And you have to watch yourself. You have to get out. When you see things like that happen, you've got to get out of the middle of it. Those are some snares. And another snare you'll get is trying to fix things yourself. And especially if you're a parent, you learn to try to fix things for your kids. If you're a husband, you try to fix things for your wife. And when you begin to try to counsel other people, and it's going to take some... One thing about counseling people is it takes them some time to fix problems. And if you want them to fix it just like this right here, and it ain't happening, you may get in there and you may begin to try to do it. You may start throwing money into a problem, trying to help somebody out. You know, well, here's some money, here's some money, here's some money. And really what God's working on is trying to get this young man to get a job. God's like, look, I've got this guy to where he ain't got enough money to pay his bills. He ain't got enough money to buy him anything to eat. And I've got him to the point to where he realizes, you know what, it's time for me to get a job. And then along comes mom or dad. Here's your $50. And some snares you can get into is trying to fix things yourself when God's doing something. That's why you got to pray and ask God. It may be a young woman who's in a situation where she don't got a husband. And she can't help herself. She can't fix those things. And God's doing the same thing. Listen, you need to get a job. You need to work. You know, that's part of it. You know, you're in a situation you're in because you made some mistakes. You need to get a job. And that happens sometimes. And, you know, the ideal situation, obviously with God, I believe the ideal situation is that a man and a woman gets married. They stay married to each other as long as they're alive. They raise kids and they take care of their kids. The husband works, makes enough money to accommodate all the things that they need. And he provides for his family. She stays at home. She raises her kids and she takes care of those kids and raises them in the admonition of the Lord. That's what I think. That's the ideal situation. But guess what? It don't happen all the time. Probably don't happen enough as we wish it would. And today, the way things are geared, it's geared to make a household. The only way you can, I'm not even talking about having fancy things in life. The only way you can make it today just to get your bills paid a lot of times is the man and the woman work. And you're in a situation like that. You get in situations where a guy marries some deadbeat woman and she shacks up with somebody else and she leaves this guy and he's got these kids he's trying to raise and God's in the middle of this trying to show him what to do. You've got women that their husband leaves them because some deadbeat guy leaves them and there she is. She's trying to take care of things. She has to get a job. That stuff happens. And when it happens like that, when you're giving counsel on things like that, it'd be silly for me as a preacher, for somebody to come up to me, and I've got this young lady here, her husband's left, and got all these problems going on, and I'm sitting here telling her, well, you know, what you ought to do, and giving her advice and based on a family staying together. And there was nothing she could do about it. She's going to have to get a job. She's going to have to put her kids in public school. You know, she's going to have to get babysitters, and she's going to, and yeah, it'd be nice if she could do all those things, but she ain't going to be able to. And there's no sense in browbeating somebody like that. But there's no sense in that woman right there just sitting down and taking it on the chin and acting like everybody owes her either. She may have to get up and get a job. She may have to provide for herself, get her own things. And that's the way things goes. And God gets in the middle of stuff. And sometimes when you try to fix things yourself, it becomes a snare. Another snare that happens is becoming consumed with somebody else's life. You can get consumed with somebody else's life and your life go to pot. Everything you got, your wife, your kids, your family, everything else that's going on, you get consumed like a soap opera. You're finding out who they're dating, or you're finding out who they're going to marry, or you're finding out if they're married and they've got this problem, you're finding out what they're investing their money in, and you're trying to control them, and you're trying to, and you get consumed with their life. That's just things you got to watch when you get into counseling people. And look over at 2 Samuel. Get 2 Samuel chapter 16. Some people get so excited about counseling and can see the answer so easy that they get frustrated when people don't do what they tell them to do. And it hurts them. It hurts them. It can destroy your life. In get 2 Samuel chapter 16. There's a guy named Ahithophel, and he was a counselor to David. And when David left the kingdom there, when Absalom rose up against him, he became Absalom's counselor. And look down in 2 Samuel chapter 16, look down in verse 20. And then said Absalom to Ahithophel, give counsel among you what we shall do. And Ahithophel said unto Absalom, go in unto thy father's concubines, which he has left to keep the house, and all Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. So they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house, and Absalom went in unto his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, listen to what it says, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. And that's what God wants you to be. Just like Ahithophel there, he wants you to give that counsel just like it's the oracles of God. But the problem is, sometimes a snare that you get into is when people don't listen to what you're saying. Look at chapter 17. Moreover, that means in addition to. Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night. And I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid, and all the people that are with him shall flee. And I will smite the king only. And I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is as if all returned. So all the people shall be in peace. And the saying pleased Absalom well, and all the elders of Israel. Then said Absalom, call now Hushai, the Archite also, and let us hear likewise what he saith. And when Hushai was come to Absalom, Absalom spake unto him, saying, Ahithophel hath spoken after this manner. Shall we do after his saying? If not, speak thou. And Hushai said unto Absalom, the counsel that Ahithophel hath given is not good at this time. For, said Hushai, thou knowest thy father and his men, that they be mighty men, and they be chafed in their minds as a bear robbed of her whelps in the field. And thy father is a man of war, and will not lodge with the people. Behold, he is hid now in some pit or in some other place. And it will come to pass, when some of them be overthrown at the first, that whosoever heareth it will say, there is a slaughter among the people that follow Absalom. And he also that is valiant, whose heart is as the heart of a lion, shall utterly melt. For all Israel knoweth that thy father is a mighty man, and they which be with him are valiant men. Therefore, I counsel that all Israel be generally gathered unto thee, from Dan even to Beersheba, as the sand that is by the sea for multitude, and that thou go to battle in thine own person. Now, what's going on here is God sent Hushai in there to mess up Ahithophel's counsel. What that guy should have done was listen to Ahithophel. Now, that's the thing right there. Look at that situation. Both of those situations they got right there. You know what that is? Those sound good. Both scenarios. When Hushai's sitting there and he's giving all that stuff, boy, it sounds like something you could listen to. He sounds like he knows what he's talking about. You say, how could a guy know the difference in a situation like that? You got to pray. When somebody's giving you counsel, you got to pray. But look down in verse 23. When they don't follow Ahithophel's advice, look what Ahithophel does. Look at verse 23. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order, and hanged himself and died and was buried in the sepulcher of his father. And what happens is a lot of times is you get so involved in trying to help somebody, when they don't follow your advice, it destroys you. And what you end up doing is you may end up getting mad at that person, start talking about that person, start getting aggravated at that person, and all of a sudden there's something between you and them because they wouldn't follow your advice. And you got to watch. That's another snare that you got to watch. Now look at 1 Samuel chapter 25. I want to show you some good advice. Some good advice. One time I was going through the Bible and just got this idea. I thought, I don't know why I thought about it, but I just started thinking about advice, and I started marking down some times that people gave good advice in the Bible, and marking down some times people gave bad advice in the Bible. And here in 1 Samuel 25, there's two different people that give some good advice. Now what happened is that David was gone. He was out of running from Saul, and he was taking care of Nabal and all of Nabal's stuff. And Nabal hadn't really asked him to. He was just out there in the wilderness there, and he would help him, take care of him. And it came to a point to where David was needing some help, needing some food. And David sent him to Nabal and sent them people there. In verse 10, it says this, 1 Samuel 25, verse 10. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David and who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be?" So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all the sayings. And David said unto his men, "Gird ye on every man his sword." And they girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. But one of the young men, now look at this, here's a guy that's going to have some good advice. He sees what's going on. Now, you don't need to always get in the middle of meddling with things. But there's some times when you do need to get in the middle of meddling with some things. And the only way you're going to know when to and when not to is if you're close to God. It says, "But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, 'Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master.' And he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us and were not hurt. Neither missed we anything as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us both by night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him." In verse 16 he says up there, he says, verse 17 he says, "Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do." You know what he's doing? He's giving her some advice. He's saying something needs to go on right here. Well then this woman right here, she gives some good advice. But before we go on, look at verse 17. You need to underline that. You know, a lot of us get to this point right here where nobody can tell us what to do. Nobody can give us any advice. In verse 17, at the end of that thing, he says, "For he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him." We got so much pride at times in our life where we're trying to do something, or we think we're right about something, and our wife will come talk to us, or a husband will go talk to their wife. Or you try to talk to your kids, or your kids even try to talk some sense into you sometimes and tell you, "Dad, you're making a mistake right here." And sometimes we act like a son of Belial, that a man cannot even speak to us. And you got to watch those things. Now look at verse 23. "And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, 'Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal.'" Look down at verse 27. "And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord." She says, listen, you ain't going to do nothing but cause shame on yourself if you go do something to this guy. Just take this food, let me give you this, and you do all right. And David was ready to kill that guy. Now look down in verse what David says in verse 32. And David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me." And look what he says, "And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine own hand." And so Abigail goes over there and gives David some good advice. And there's some times in the Bible where there's some good advice, and then there's some times where there's not. Look at Genesis. Get Genesis 16. And while you're over here in 1 Samuel, get 2 Samuel 13 and get Genesis 16. Second Samuel 13 and get Genesis 16. Here's some bad advice, Genesis 16. Verse 1, "Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, bare him no children. And she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my..." Right here's the advice. "Go in unto my handmaid," or "go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her." Now right there, and look what it says. "And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarah." And that advice right there, you know what it's done? It's causing us problems today. There's problems today based on some bad advice, not just advice that was given, but advice that was followed. And you see why God says, "Let if any man speak, let him speak as oracles of God," because we mess things up. And we don't realize the repercussions that can happen. One small decision right there in the world at that point, how many people was in the world at that point, that one decision, look what it's done. Millions of people have died because of that right there. Millions of people today are just in a mess and fighting today. There's things going on because of that decision that was made right there. Now look at 2 Samuel 13. 2 Samuel 13. Some more bad advice. It says, "And it came to pass," verse 1, "after this, that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her." That's good. That's some good advice right there. Or that's some good thinking on Amnon's part. You know what Amnon was thinking? "That's a good girl right there. I don't need to defile that girl." He had some good common sense. And that's what we need to tell our sons. That they need to have that thought right there instead of thinking the other thing, trying to go out and defile young girls. That thought process that Amnon had, it says, "Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her." Now, what's the problem with Amnon? Amnon's got a friend. Look at the next verse. "But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, Lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress it, and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it and eat it at her hand." And so what's going on right there? You got some bad advice. That's bad advice. And what you got to realize is that you need to watch your kids. You need to watch your children. Because you may raise your kid right, and your kid may be knowing what's right, and he may have a hard time trying to do what he thinks what's in his head to do, and all he needs is a little nudge by somebody or some friend or some family member, and you got to watch. Even if it comes down to cutting ties with family members, sometimes you got to watch. And another thing you need to realize is that right there is it's real easy for us to put our own kids in that situation with Amnon. But you know what? Our kids may be Jonadab, and you need to protect other people's kids. If you got a kid you can't handle, and you got a kid that you know is into mischief, and he's going to mess somebody up, and somebody's wanting their kid to spend the night with you, or you're wanting some kid to go somewhere with you, your kid, and start being friends with your kid, or my kid, you know what we need to say? Make up an excuse. So, well, not this weekend, or not tonight, or not this, or not that. You got to protect somebody else's kid. If you know how your kid is, it's like having a snake in the back room back there, and somebody says, hey, I'm going to send my kid back there in the back room and get something. Oh, yeah, go ahead. You wouldn't do something like that. You'd protect their kid just like you would yours. And what you got to do is realize, you know what? My kid's a mess. And I need to watch when good kids get around them. I need to cut ties with stuff like that right there. And I need to protect their kids. And because a lot of times we don't. A lot of times what will happen is somebody want to spend the night with you, or somebody want to spend the weekend with you, or go on a trip with you, be friends with them at school, or all that stuff. And instead of just saying, trying to make sure nothing happens and keep that thing safe and protect that other kid, they just act like it's no big deal. Oh, yeah, go ahead. Oh, yeah, go ahead. That kid will be good for my kid. That's what they think. Oh, that kid will be good for my kid. Maybe my kid will get better because he's with somebody else's kid that's good. And a lot of times ain't what happens. A lot of times what happens is the bad kid messes up the good kid. So you got to watch. You got to watch. So when it comes to speaking as the oracles of God or ministering, minister as the ability God's give you. And if you're going to give some counsel, give counsel by the oracles of God. All right, let's take a break.